of the church, and Lord, we ask you, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to give us a message that we need to hear tonight, and you with us and guide us in our own way, we ask you, Jesus, amen.
Amen. Put the page 367.
Each one of you tonight, appreciate you being over at the house of the Lord. I heard some thunder there a while ago. I didn't even know it was going supposed to start raining tonight, but it's good to see each one of you, and I want you to pray. We're going to have Brother Greg come here in just a few minutes and do whatever the Lord lays on his heart, devotion or whatever the Lord lays on his heart. We want you to be obedient to the Spirit. And I want to encourage you tonight. We preached the message this morning on sharing the joy. And I'd love for you, if God gives you a testimony tonight, love for you to mind the Lord. And share what God's done for you. And a lot of times, I always like to hear when somebody says, I've got a praise report. Boy, that just thrills me, because I know I'm fixing to hear something that the Lord's done good. But please pray for our business meeting tonight, that everything would be carried out in an orderly manner, in a way that the Lord would be pleased with. And let's just go to meeting for a little while, worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And Brother Greg, if you're ready, if you want to come on up and you pay attention to the reading of God's Word, and whatever the Lord had had you do, you be obedient to the Spirit. help you, Lord.
Brother Steve asked me last Sunday to do the devotion. I called him, or I texted him, I says, is there something specific or a certain way we want to do this? He said, no, let the Lord lead you. So I prayed about it, studied on it this week. And what he put on my heart this morning, you were ahead of me. And I'm going to tell you why. I like to look at stuff, you know, put things in order and see how things work out. And in my profession, I've seen, Royce knows this, and my wife knows it, I've seen good things and bad things every day. But I always face a challenge, and I use that challenge, or use his help to face that challenge. So, in studying stuff and looking at stuff, I come across this a long time ago, and I use this on a regular basis. So let me give you some background. A lot of y'all may already know this. There's 1,188 verses in the King James Bible. Okay? So, if you look at it from, not verses, chapters, I'm sorry, chapters. The shortest chapter, Psalms 117. The longest chapter, Psalms 119. So the center chapter is Psalm 118. But Psalms 118:8, okay? That is where the God, that he said, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man.
Amen.
So that, your message today, that God put on you, this message I feel is the foundation for you to get the joy that you need out of life. So in studying this, I found this. It says, victory through divine grace. Psalms 118 is a potent reminder that the eternal and steadfast love of God. It encourages us to remain unwavering in our faith, even in times of great adversity, affirming that through God's love and mercy, victory is assured. It emphasizes the power of gratitude and rejoicing in the blessings we receive when they appear disguised as hardships. So, the other thing that when I studied that chapter that I thought was interesting, that I don't think I've ever seen it before, is that the first verse and the last verse of that chapter is the same. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." I don't know if that's that way anywhere in the Bible, but that was something very interesting to me also. But now, this thought process is explained many times in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, the Lord agrees with the psalmist, and he says this, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man, and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in salt land which is not inhabited." But then in Jeremiah 17:7-8, he reveals what happens to the person that trusts in the Lord. He said, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. It will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought. Nor will it cease from yielding fruit." Then in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 10, Jesus taught his disciples to fear man who killed the body, to not fear man who killed the body, but are able to kill the soul. He instructed them to fear the Lord who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell.
Amen.
So, when is it the time to trust in the Lord? In times of weakness, trust Him for strength. In times when we are unsure of our way, trust Him for direction. In times we don't understand, trust His love and care. Trust in Him all the time. So why is it better to trust in Him? It's better because man is weak, God is almighty.
Sure.
Man is selfish, God is benevolent. Man is often treacherous and deceitful, God is faithful. And in some emergencies, such as death, man cannot help. But God can assist us in any extremity. Like I said, I've used this many times with co-workers that are facing a bad problem, or with us that we face a bad call. I use this because, one, it's a solid foundation, but the one thing about it, Psalms 118:8 is the center of the Bible. Okay? Why is it the center? Why does it sound like that's the center? What do? When we center, we focus, we concentrate. So why should we not concentrate on trusting the Lord?
Amen.
So, and I'm gonna give you a little testimony. Most of y'all know Zach.
Bless him, Lord.
Ooh. 2018. We almost stopped him. I'm sorry. He had a bad accident, traumatic brain injury, and he did go into cardiac arrest, going into the ER. They got him back. And Kim can tell you, we faced a lot of challenges, a lot of people telling us this and telling us that, told us to put him on the trach. Put him on a peg tube. He's going to be like that from now on. Well, not many people know this, but I come off on the 11th floor, looked across, and all you could see was the brick building. And he told me, he said, "I got this." And it wasn't too long after that, we had a meeting with the neurosurgeon, the main doctor, because he was mad at us because we were fighting him about doing all this stuff. He said, whoa. He said, "I fully expect him to recover. We need to do this to help him heal." And he's the first one that told us something positive. But I have always seen things go on and things happen, and I know God's in control. I've seen miracles happen.
Sure.
And there's been times you question, why did that happen? But I never had, till that day in 2018, had to look at it from a different angle. So I use this on a regular basis because it's a good foundation. And without that foundation, how do you get the joy?
That's right.
And that's all I got.
God bless you.
Thank God you. Bless you, Brother Greg.
Amen. Amen.
You feel like testifying? I couldn't help, Brother Greg, but think about when you was talking about the different needs that we have and going to the same Lord for every problem that we have or anything that we face. And I thought about the song, "Grace for Every Need." And I'm glad today that He is. I guess it's like this, you have a lot of companies that will take a job if it's a big enough job. And some companies will advertise that there's no job too small. A lot of plumbing companies will advertise that, no job too small. But I'm glad that with the good Lord, whatever we take to Him, He's got grace for every need that we have today. I found in my life that if I'll carry the small problems to Him, that they don't become mountains and big problems in my life if I'll carry them to Him while they're small. I hate to admit that down through my life, I've let things fester and tried to fix it myself, and it progressively got worse, like the woman who went to several different physicians trying to get better. Bible said not only did she not get better, but she grew worse. And I've let things just fester like that and get worse, but I'm glad today that I can go to the Lord with whatever, however small that problem might be. A lot of times we'll tell somebody about our problem, they'll say, boy, you think you got problems, I got bigger problems than that. But if it's a problem to us, then it's a problem we need to take it to God with. And I'm glad that when we go to Him, He's never approached me and said, I've got bigger fish to fry, but He's always looked at what I brought Him as if it was the only problem He had to solve. And I'm glad of that today. I really am. You gonna testify, anybody? Appreciate that, Brother Greg. Thank you for minding the Lord. Thank you for sharing that experience with what happened to your son in 2018. I can only imagine.
Well, Steve, I'd like to stand and tell Greg how much I appreciate his thoughts tonight, and how much I appreciate he and his family and what they mean to the church here,
sure,
to this community. But you know, I learned it at a real young age that I could trust in man.
That's right.
And all of us have had those experiences when we maybe held somebody in very high esteem and then got disappointed. Mm-hmm. You know, as the years that went by, I don't get hurt and let down by that as I did when I was a child, because I realized we're all human, flesh and blood. We're full of imperfections. We're going to fail. But the Lord is the one that we can depend on.
Yes. Amen.
And so I have to wrestle with my own failures and just try to be understanding of others. And so we can't trust in man, but the Lord has never failed, and He's never let me down.
Amen. Amen. Somebody else.
I was just saying amen for that. I'm going to have to testify that voice. He never let me down.
Never will.
When I went to Him, humbleness. I think in my journey in life, I had a lot of ups and downs. I came from a rough background. And I'll give that testimony one night. But it's a big one. But I want to say that there are times in your life, and I think about Sister Linda, I'm thinking about her this week, Sister Mel. There are times in your life when all the strength of your body is not going to be enough. What all you've got in you is not going to be enough to cope with the situation.
That's right.
There's going to be times in your life, there's a lot of very intelligent people in this church. There's people with a very high intellect. But there's going to be times in your life when all the intellect in your brain is not going to be enough.
Amen.
You're not going to be able to reason the solution. You're not going to be able to find the way. So you're going to have to go a little deeper. You're going to have to go here.
That's right.
And you have to go here because when you get in the Word, you seek information. But the Word, through the Holy Spirit, gives revelation. And then the revelation makes the transformation. That's where you find the answer that you need when you can't find the way. When it becomes too overwhelming for you, it's the only place I know to go if I need an answer that I don't have a solution for. Praise God that we have the ability to have a counselor, we have an advocate that we can go to help us in those situations when it's too much for us to make.
Sure.
It's great.
Sure. Amen. God bless you, Brother Mark. Amen.
Brother Steve, that's great. Testified about Zach and the miracle that he is. During that time, every day we wrote an update and asked for specific prayers on what was the need with him, you know, pressure down, fever down, just whatever was happening at that time, specifically laid out. And God led me to a scripture every day, and the Bible would stand on and claim it. Every day. He never let us down.
Thank you, Lord.
And you, no matter whatever we were facing, whichever way it went, He was right there with us, and He never let us down. Not once.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, my.
By the Lord.
I'm praying to.
Yeah.
I remember a similar circumstance when Meg was little. I remember I had a boss, and as far as I know, the man, never said he was saved, never had a spirit of grace, but he was a good man. And I had my crew working, and I was working off by myself. And the reason was because I was doing as much crying as I was working. And he sneaked up on me there, had a little talk with me. It was a father-son talk. And his talk to me was about my faith. And he said, there are times when there's nothing you can do. He basically told me I had it better than anyone else that didn't believe. That because I had faith in a risen Savior and God Almighty, that I had more help.
Sure.
And that's who I should turn to. And that's when I did. And then, like Brother Greg said, when he's looking at that brick building and realized the clarity came. When we try to do things on our own, when we try to live like we think's best for us and not the way God wants us to live, there's all kind of confusion, and we know where the confusion comes from. We know wherever evil work comes
sure.
from. We do. But the confusion, at one time men were going to build a tower up to God. And God confounded their language, and He called the place Babel, which meant confusion. And I didn't know about that place. I'd heard the story when I was a kid, never had studied it or saw the significance of it. But there was a day that the Spirit came down. And they call that the day of Pentecost. Brother, there was no confusion on that day. Everyone heard the Word of God in their own language. Sometimes we just got to listen to God the way He talks to us.
Sure.
And sometimes I'm so glad that He's so long-suffering that He'll keep tugging and pulling on us until we get that clarity, Brother Greg, to we can hear Him say, I've got this. I'm thankful that I serve a God tonight. It's got this.
Amen.
And I ain't confused about it one little bit.
Amen.
Y'all pray for our own when you pray.
God bless you, Brother Bobby. Amen. Anybody else?
Those days like today at church are those days that just bond us as a family. You had such a sweet message this morning. And then Brother Greg brought to us his message tonight.
Bless you, God.
And you know, and I think that's what makes a family is we know about each other.
Sure.
We understand that they've had trouble and they've come through. And you know, sometimes when I get into a pity party or something, I think, well, I'm the only one that's ever gone through anything like that. Nobody knows what I'm going through, but everybody knows what I'm going through. When I have a sister that I've never seen, she died before I was born, at 4 months old. And then when we had Ben, and she died from, I guess what they call sudden infant death back then, or SIDS, or whatever, but we had Ben, and he was just a few months old, and he woke up with this croup that he couldn't breathe, and that terrified me. Because all my life I had heard about my sister, dying at that age. And then, you know, a few years later, Elizabeth comes along, and she had a little lung problem when she was born, and put her in ICU. She stayed for a while, and sent her home like they always do. And a few days later, while I was at work, Elaine's mother and dad happened to be at the house. She stopped breathing. And, you know, I wasn't on that trip to the hospital then, but they said she started breathing before she got there. By the time she got to the hospital, she was fine. But those kind of things, we learn about each other by being with each other.
Sure.
And by confiding in each other and helping each other through, you know, if you can help me through a hardship and I can help you through a hardship, that's what makes brothers and sisters. So it's been a wonderful day at church today. Amen. I just appreciate the spirit that's been here.
Yes.
And the peace that's been here. Wonderful day. Thank you all.
Bless your heart, Brother Roger. Amen. Somebody else. You know, it was mentioned that about the Lord being able to handle anything that comes our way. And I remember as a child, I was young, and somebody had given me a piece of paper or a little card, maybe it was my mother, I don't know. But it had everything listed that the writer could think of that you might deal with in life. And everything from marital problems to drug problems to just a list of things. And it would give a verse in the Bible that dealt specifically with that particular thing that you were going through. And I'm glad today that we made mention today that wherever we go, He's been there before. And not having to draw Him a picture or try to explain to Him what's going on. But when we take our cares and our problems to Him, He already knows. He already knows exactly where we're at. And He's got the cure for it. The biggest thing is getting self out of the way. At least that's what it is with me, getting myself out of the way and trusting that God can handle anything that comes. And that's why it does us good to every time that God blesses us, every time that God brings us through a trial or tribulation, that we drive the stake down. You know, make a memorial. For all through, if you read through the Old Testament, and when God brought them through different situations, they made a memorial for it. They stacked rocks up, and I think that it's important today for us to. The devil wants us to forget what God's done for us, and he wants us to think that God's not going to help with the next problem that comes along. That only help we can get from the world. That's a lie of the devil. So I try, there's been things in my life that I've tried to drive up a stake there, maybe put a memorial up where God has, where it looked like there was no light at the end of the tunnel, but somehow or another, God brought me through it. And then I look back, Sister Pam, and I think about the worrying that I did over it, the stress that maybe we put our bodies through, worrying about something, and all the time God had that in His hands. And all he wanted me to do was trust and believe that He had it in His hands and that He could take care of it. And while bragging on the Lord ought to be the easiest thing that anybody's ever done. From just the experiences that he's given us in each one of our lives. I can't imagine what happened to y'all's son and going through that. I can't imagine what Sister Nell's going through right now. I can't. I think about that a lot now. And
But I'm glad today that we're serving one that knows all about that, knows all about that. And somebody might say, well, that's easy to say for you, you're not going through it. No, I'm not going through it. But I know that whatever I've gone through, he's always come through with flying colors. And I don't think that we can put anything before him that he wipes his brow and says, that's too much for me. Anybody else?
Well, Steve, when I got saved, the Lord made a difference in my life. But when I had kids, I trusted him so much more for them. Sure. I don't know why that is, but I was always a mother that was, I coached everything they had to play, you know. They were with me at school all day, and I felt like I could protect them. But when they went off to school, and when we dropped back off in Tuscaloosa, that was hard to stay with them at that point. Because I couldn't protect her anymore. During those tornadoes in 2011, we sat and watched the tornado hit her apartment complex on TV. Talking to her on the phone, and all of a sudden the phone died, and we couldn't get her back for, you know, it seemed like forever, probably 10 or 15 minutes, and she and Emily and Meg were all in that apartment together. They were in some stranger's apartment on the bottom floor, just huddled together, but they knew, they were praying.
Yeah.
We were praying for them, but they were praying for themselves, and God heard that prayer. Then in September of that same year, I got a phone call from a number I didn't know. I'm at school, and this woman says, are you Meg's mother? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, she's had a bad car wreck. And again, the first thing I did was pray. But when I talked to Meg later on, she had prayed as she saw that car coming at her, and the Lord let her pass out, and she got around that car flipping five times and breaking her all to pieces, you know. Just stuff like that. I can't protect them myself, but I know the one that can protect them.
Amen.
And what's better, they know the one that can protect them, and I'm so thankful for that. Our children were saved when they were young. Babies still haven't been saved as far as I know. And that just scares me to death. His mama's gone now. She can't reach for it. We need to reach for it, church.
Amen.
Don't worry about that. You know, the other two boys have been saved. They're missing their mama. This is coming up the first Mother's Day without their mama. But baby's not been saved, and he doesn't have that relationship with God that he can raise him.
Right.
So I just ask that y'all would remember him and pray that the Lord will reach him before it's too late.
Amen. God will give every one of us a burden. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, when the Lord gives you kids, it changes your whole perspective on things. It does. When I was just responsible for myself, I wasn't too worried about it. But when the Lord blesses you with children, and you know how the world is, and you know what could happen, you see what happens to your neighbor's kids, then it becomes a reality. It becomes a reality. I don't know how folks make it through this life without having the Lord to lean on, because I lean on him every day. Brother Michael, I have to. Somebody said, well, you sure are weak. I'm no match for what the world can throw at me today, what the devil can throw at me. So I have to have somebody to lean on. I'm glad that I do. Anybody else? Don't want to cut you short. Thank you, Brother Greg, for the devotion. Appreciate you minding the Lord. And
bringing that to us.